Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Well, three little boys, one morning were bragging about their dads. First little boy said, "My dad's a fireman, and he's so fast that he could throw his axe and he could catch it before it lands." Second boy says, "Well, my dad is a policeman. He could fire off his gun and he can outrun the bullet." Third little boy says, "Well, my dad, he works for the city and he gets off at 5, but he could be home at 4:30. Listen, if it's not our dads or our family or our work or our sports team or even our education, all of us find something to boast in, something that we find our pride in, that we are boastful about. And those things that we boast in, they ultimately, if we stop and think about it, they define us. They define who we really are and what we care about. Well, this morning we're finishing our series on Galatians. Now, just to refresh our memories, this is one of Paul's earliest letters to the churches that he started. And sadly, after he moved on from starting this church, a few Jewish legalists, which he calls the Judaizers, came in to pervert the gospel message that salvation is through grace alone in Jesus Christ alone. And Paul's hammered away, as we've been looking at this, he's hammered away at the Judaizers' theological arguments that obedience to the Old Testament law was necessary to accompany faith in Jesus. I mean, he had used biblical arguments, he's used metaphorical arguments, he's even used allegorical arguments to plead his case that the gospel message is that it is by Jesus Christ's grace on the cross and our faith in that, and that is it. That's what he's been arguing about. And then last week we looked and we saw how trusting in that message of the gospel frees us from the law so that now we might live out a higher law, what the New Testament calls the royal law, which is that of love. Loving others as we love ourselves. But as Paul brings this writing to a close, he accentuates his argument. He puts a final bow on his letter by declaring something that he boasts in, and that is that he boasts only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we stop and think about this idea for just a second, just stop and think about what he's boasting in, just for a second. If we were to be honest, it's a little bit ridiculous. Here's what I mean. Now, we recognize Jesus to be God. That's after years and years of theological understanding. But at that time, people saw him just as a man. And he was a man that went to a cross, a method of torturing and ultimately killing criminals. So when Paul says, I boast only in the cross, it would be like this. It would be like if I were to say, "Hey, you know what, guys, this morning I am just boasting in the electric chair. I place all of my boast, everything that I'm proud of is in the electric chair." Just think about that for a second. But that's what Paul is saying. So here's what we have to do this morning. We have to ask this question, why? Why does Paul boast and make it only thing that he boasts about the cross? So this morning, we're going to read together. We're going to finish up Galatians. Galatians 6, starting in verse 1. So let's read this together. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. Now, while most of this final chapter is Paul's conclusion to the letter to the church in Galatia, and he's primarily just recapping all that he's already said to the church, like I mentioned earlier, there is this one statement that is almost the exclamation mark of this entire message. Now, some of you might be saying, well, if that's the exclamation mark, why didn't you just start there? Just start there. Well, hopefully, as we've gone through this last few weeks, you've seen Paul's pastoral heart. You've seen his love for the church in Galatia, trying to lead them back to the truth of the message of the gospel. Yet, look back with me at Paul's exclamation mark of a statement. We'll find it in verse 14. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Now here's the thing. This is Paul writing this. He's like the super apostle, right? And we've already seen part of the experiences that Paul has had. He literally told us already in this letter that he was taught the gospel by Jesus himself. That's a big statement. I have never been taught the Bible by Jesus himself, okay? Paul says that. He says that the entire church, the whole church rejoiced whenever he came to faith in Jesus Christ. That definitely didn't happen. There was a lot of people in my church that got excited, but it wasn't the whole church that got excited, all right? This is Paul, the Paul, y'all. And if anyone within the New Testament could boast about their accomplishments, it was Paul. If anyone could boast about what they had done for the Lord, it would be Paul. I mean, just think about it. He started dozens of churches. He took the gospel message all the way to Rome, which is what he felt the Lord had wanted him to do. And he wrote a significant part of our New Testament. When we read through the letters, most of those letters are Paul's writings. So by our standards, he had every right to boast about his ministry. But instead, Paul says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Greek, it's actually a double negative. I know all you English teachers out there are going, no, right? But it should read like this. For me, however, may I never boast if never, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, he's saying, only in the cross of Jesus will I boast. I won't boast in any of those other things that I've done. None of those other accomplishments mean anything. All that matters, all that I boast in, is the cross of Jesus Christ. Here's our question. Is that our boast this morning? Is that our boast? Is that where we take pride and that we are so grateful and we just lift up the cross and everything that's in us? It should have played out like this. As you walk in this morning, someone greeted you and they said, hey, how was the week this last week? And you said, well, it was all right. My spouse and I got into an argument, but we sat down and we prayed, asking the cross to unify us again. That we rejoice in Jesus suffering for us on the cross, that he forgave us so that we could forgive one another. Or maybe it looked like this. Man, my customers were on me hard this week. And I kept asking God to help me love them with the same love that Christ demonstrated on the cross. Has that been your boast this week? Is that how you've boasted in your week? That's what it looks like. That's heavy, right? That's heavy stuff, I understand. But that's what Paul's talking about here. That's what he's trying to communicate to the Galatian church. This is what he's saying. I boast only in the cross, because the cross of Jesus Christ now centers Paul's life. Once he experienced the grace of Jesus Christ, his life completely reoriented. He is centered on Jesus. And so this morning, as we finish up Galatians, I want to show you three ways that the cross should center our lives. That the cross should center our lives. So let's look back at verse 1 of chapter 6. Back at verse 1. All right. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. So Paul's encouraging the Galatians to forgive one another and restore their relationships with each other when someone messes up, when someone fails, when someone falls, when they sin, that you restore the relationship with one another and you forgive each other. But Paul also quickly reminds them, why? Because you miss it too. You aren't Mr. Perfect. You aren't Mrs. Perfect. You aren't Miss Perfect. You aren't Mr. Perfect, all right? But the Judaizers, they were going around boasting and correcting those who had sinned. They were excited to be able to point out people's flaws and failures. Oh, look what you did wrong. Sinner. Sinner, right? And that's how legalists want to be. That's how even us, if we're not careful, we can fall in this idea of legalism. And we start pointing out other people's sins instead of remembering that we too are sinners. That we too are fallen, that we too mess up. But Jesus, of course, tells us what people like that will receive. He tells us if that's what we go around and do, here's what we're going to receive. Those who want to be seen by others because you're awesome and you pointed out someone else's sin and you're better than they are, Jesus tells us what they get as a reward. You get to be seen by others. That's your reward. But those who live by the Spirit, being obedient to God, he rewards them whenever they see Jesus. There will be a reward for those who live by God's Spirit and do as God has asked them to do, recognizing completely, hey, I'm not perfect. And I want to love you as best I can, but I'm not perfect as well. So, but those that let the cross characterize their lives wait for that reward that their Spirit-led goodness receives from God. So this is the first thing that the cross does to help center our lives, is that it characterizes our lives. It characterizes us. Now, in light of these first verses, we see that the cross characterizes us as wrong, as sinners. Well, thanks, Pastor. You did exactly what the legalists did. You called me a sinner. Great. Appreciate that. Yeah, maybe. But here's the great part about the cross. While the cross definitely helps you understand and it characterizes you that you are a sinner, that you are wrong, here's what the cross also does. The cross also characterizes you as loved by God. You are loved by God. Listen to Paul in Romans 5. This is an incredible passage. Hear what he says in Romans 5 here. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Even though we were still sinners, even though I was still a sinner, God showed his love for me by sending his son to die on the cross for me. Now the question might be, what about now? Sure, okay, I get it. Jesus died then to save me from those past sins. But what about now? What about if I sin now? What if I do something wrong now? Because I do, Pastor. I do something wrong. I sin all the time. Guess what? Me too. I'm no different than you, okay? I sin. I fall as well. But I want you to see this. This is great. This is why this is such an incredible passage. Look at this word right here. Notice something about it. In the Greek, it's not past tense. It doesn't say demonstrated. It says demonstrates. In other words, the love of God for us, found in Christ Jesus, continues. And it forgives past sin, present sin, future sin. He demonstrates. He didn't demonstrate it. He demonstrates his love. He continues to show you his love and that he forgives you because of the cross of Christ, because of what Jesus has done. So we're characterized as sinners, but we also recognize that we're loved. Yet the cross says one more thing about us. It characterizes us in one more way. And this is one of those ideas that Paul's actually railed on throughout this letter. He has just continued, like I said before, to hammer it and hammer it and hammer it, that through the cross we are justified. We are justified. Remember, this word means that we are declared righteous. So catch this. We were sinners, but because God demonstrates his love for us, now we are declared righteous. We were sinners. Amen to that, Philip, right? Amen to that. We were sinners. God demonstrates his love. He continues to demonstrate his love. And now we are declared righteous. God has said, you are righteous and holy. You are blameless. Church, that is what should get us excited. We aren't looked at as sinners. We are looked at as righteous. If we have trusted in what Jesus has done, we are justified and declared righteous by God. But listen, this is not what the Judaizers want. This isn't what they come in and do. They keep on preaching this message that you have to do this, this, and this. And Paul says, no, 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 no. You are saved by grace alone, in Christ alone. So by the cross, we are justified. In God's grace, we are justified, not by our own righteousness, not because we are righteous, because Jesus gives us his righteousness. And that's what the Father sees when he looks at us. He doesn't look at our goodness, because our goodness could never amount to God's goodness. He sees Jesus Christ's faithfulness. He sees Jesus Christ's goodness in us. And that is what he says is righteous. That is what he says is righteous. So we're justified by grace in Christ. We've taken on his righteousness. And I love what Paul says. It's not our own. In Ephesians, he says, so that no one, check the word, can boast. Paul, you're so clever. I see what you're doing in all these letters. You got the same theology. I boast only in the cross. I don't boast in myself. No one can boast in themselves. It's not Pastor James is so holy. I'm declared righteous because of what Jesus has done. You are declared righteous because of what Jesus has done. Now, only two times in this letter does Paul make this kind of emphatic statement. So it's a pretty crazy statement. He says, the only thing that matters is blank. He says it two times. And both times, the statement illustrates how the cross centers us by changing our lives. That the cross centers us by changing our lives. So we see him in the first time he uses it in chapter 5. We looked at that last week. But let's turn there real quick. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Here's that statement. The only thing that matters is faith expressing itself in love. So here's what we see the cross does. The cross changes us into people of love. And once we tried to be a people of law, we wanted the rule to tell us. But now the cross changes us to be people of love. And we spent significant time last week looking at that, right? We made that statement that that's what the Holy Spirit is at work doing in our lives, that the Holy Spirit frees us from the law to love others by serving them. And love is a subsequential characteristic of those who follow Jesus Christ. It is the sequential characteristic of those who follow Jesus Christ. Jesus actually says this to his disciples right before his death. In John 13, Jesus gives them this command: love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. Now pause and keep that in mind for just a second. Because we're called to love others, not the way the world loves, not the way the world defines love, but we are called to love others the way that Jesus has loved and demonstrated his love for us. And then Jesus says something absolutely crucial in this passage, John 13. Catch it. He says this: by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. See, so the thing that we are defined by, the thing that everyone should know if we trusted in what Jesus has done and we're a follower of Jesus, is if we love each other. If we love each other. You know, a song I kept on repeat several years ago that challenged me in this very idea, I want to show you. I want to put up here for you this morning. Listen to these words. They'll know us by the t-shirts that we wear. They'll know us by the way we point and stare at anyone whose sin looks worse than ours, who cannot hide the scars of this curse that we all bear. They'll know us by our picket lines and signs. They'll know us by the pride we hide behind. Like anyone on earth is living right. And isn't that why Jesus died? Not to make us think we're right. When love, love, love is what we should be known for. Love, love, love. It's the how and it's the why we live and breathe and die. See, as followers of Jesus, we should be known by our love for each other. And the worst thing that can happen in the church, is that those inside the church talk about their brothers and sisters outside the church in a bad way. When we talk about others inside this community in a bad way, we are not showing this kind of love that attracts the world to the people of God, to the church of God. I mean, think about this for a second. Have you ever had a relationship with friends that maybe were a husband and wife, and every time you got around them, God, they just belittle each other. They just tore each other down. Can I ask you a question? Did you like being around those people? Did you want to hang out with them all the time? Why in the world do we think that people outside the church will want to be in the church if all we're doing is talking bad about each other? We're called to love one another, and this love is seen by others, and they come asking, why in the world did you forgive that person? They treated you really wrong. And it's easy. We say, because I know how I've been loved. I know the love that Jesus demonstrates to me. That's why I forgave. That's why I choose to love them. That's why I choose not to talk bad about them. The cross of Jesus Christ, the demonstration of God's love, changes us to be people who love others. And he didn't die so that you can keep being self-absorbed. That leads Paul to the second time in this letter where he says the only thing that matters is blank. This time he says it right here in this chapter that we looked at. Chapter 6. Where was it? Sorry, I should have it in my notes here. But I don't. Well, 16. Thank you, sir. Verse 16 Sorry about that. There we go. What counts is the new creation. It's the same idea. The only thing that matters, same language. The only thing that matters is the new creation. See, the cross has changed us. It changes us from the old sins, the old addictions, the old attitudes, the old behaviors, and it changes us into new God-honoring, Christ-exalting routines, attitudes, and behaviors. Listen to Paul again in the letter to the church in Corinth. This is in 2 Corinthians, his second letter to the church. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. The new is here. I know we've already seen Paul address this. Again, this is what we looked at last week in chapter 5. When he's comparing the acts of the sinful nature versus the fruit of the Spirit of God at work in your life. See, the cross changes us from the old sinful man into a new man filled with the Spirit of God and led by that Spirit. And the new creation isn't like the old. The word in Greek here for new, ready, drumroll? It means new. Woo, Pastor James, bringing the knowledge today, all right? It means new. It means that we're not the same person that we used to be. Those old desires, those old things that we crave, those old things that we loved, that is not who we are anymore. And we don't do what we used to want to do because there is a new self. There's a new person that's involved. And listen, that flies. That kind of theology flies in the face of our cultural narrative. That flies in the face of our cultural narrative. Because everything in our culture screams, you be you. You do you. Right? Live your true, authentic self. It's my favorite cultural narratives that the world tries to tell us. No. As those who have trusted in Jesus, we know ourselves to be truthfully wicked. Our heart is deceitfully wicked. We will rationalize ourselves into doing anything that we want to do. That's who we are. That's who we are in ourselves. We will rationalize ourselves to do anything that we want to do. And Paul says, no, don't be you, be the new you. Be the new you. Or as the alternative band Switchfoot puts it, there's a new way to be human. And it's nothing that we've ever been. There's a new way to be human. And Paul, he furthers helps the church in Rome to understand this idea. Romans 6. And he uses the illustration of baptism. So I want you to see this. It's a really cool passage. Look at what he says. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Oop, went too far. That was where we're supposed to be. A resurrection like his. So the old self has been crucified with Christ. It's dead along with our sinful desires, along with our old nature. And we are raised from the dead to live as a new creation. That's what the picture of baptism is. When we go into the water, we are buried and dead to our old life. And we come up and we're raised to be a new creation, a new creature. This new life that we're talking about. And that brings us to the last way that cross centers our life. The cross conforms our lives. The cross conforms our lives. In verse 17, Paul shares that he bears the marks of Jesus. And you know, a lot of theologians debate about what Paul's actually saying here. Some say that these are the stigmata that the legend of Saint Francis of Assisi experienced, where his hands and his feet, as he was in an intense time of prayer, that they bore the marks of the cross. They were pierce marks in his hands and in his feet. But I think if we're to look at this contextually, if we look at this in the argument of what Paul's saying, I think the more accurate reading here is that these are the scars of him being beaten for the gospel, whipped for the gospel, chained for sharing the message and the good news of what Jesus has done for us. What Jesus has done for us. And so as he's sharing this gospel message, He's asking the Galatians. This is why he's writing the letter to them. Why they don't believe his motives. Why do you not believe what I'm saying to you? I've been beaten and whipped and tortured so that I might share this good news with you. He has nothing to gain from sharing that with them. Everything to lose. Beaten, imprisoned. Here's why. Because he's conformed by the cross to the image of Jesus. To the image of Jesus. Here's what that means. The same way that Jesus was willing to give himself for us, Paul's willing to give himself for others. He's willing to give himself for others. And when we're focused on the cross, that's what happens. When we focus ourselves and we center our lives on the cross, that is what's ultimately going to happen. We become more like Jesus. We begin to look more like him. You can't look at the very instrument that brought you salvation, killing the one that you love, and think that you are better than others. You can't look at the cross and think, I'm better than them. I deserve this. You can't. All that happens when we look at the cross is that we humble ourselves. That's all we can do because of what we've already talked about. And then we choose to love and to serve others the way that Christ has loved and served us. Romans 8:28 is, you know, it's become an often quoted and favorite passage. And let's just look at the first verse of this. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Amen. Amen. God's not got bad plan for me. He's got only good plan for me. Praise the Lord. Pause. Let's read the rest of this passage. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So in other words, those good things that the Lord has planned for you, those good things are to make you look more like his son. They're not for you to get to do whatever you want to do. That doesn't even mean that good things are always going to happen. It means that he works everything out in your life so that you might be conformed to the image of his son. So you might look more like Jesus. Catch that. Those things that he's working the good in you, it's because he wants you to look more like Jesus. It's not because he's sitting there going, I'm just going to rain down blessings, blessings. He's not Oprah. He wants you to look more like his son. So everything in your life is aimed towards that direction. All of the horrible things that you go through, the tragedies in your life, the painful experiences and circumstances, God is working for your good to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that you might look more like Jesus. All the bad things, all the good things, so that you might look more like his son. So here's the question. Assuming that you have understood and you received the grace of God through the cross of Christ, does your life look more like Jesus? Are you looking more like Jesus? Is your life being conformed to his? Or are you trying to conform him to you? Here's the thing. Jesus doesn't fit in boxes. Jesus doesn't fit into our little boxes that we want to make for him. He cannot conform to your image. You conform to his image. He cannot. He cannot become you. You are to become him. It's what the scripture teaches us. It's what it tells us, that we are to become more like him. Now, I said this last week at the close of the message. I said, if all we did each week was to gather in here and to share the gospel good news that Jesus Christ has died for our sin, that would be enough. Why? Because the cross of Christ is our boast. That's what we boast in. Our boast is not in our righteousness. It's not in our great worship. It's not in our beautiful building. It's not in our students. It's not in our kids. It's not in our groups. That's not what we boast in this church. We boast in the cross of Jesus Christ because the cross of Jesus Christ characterizes our lives, telling us who God says that we are. We don't got to worry about what anyone else tells us. We believe and trust in what God says we are, who he says we are. He characterizes us. The cross of Christ changes us, showing us what God is making us into. And the cross of Christ conforms our lives by making us into the very image of himself. So church, may we never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we say the cross is what we boast in. It's not our own efforts. It's not our own goodness. It's not our own righteousness. It's not in anything that we have done, but it is in everything that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has done for us. That he took our place. That his righteousness has been exchanged and that now you see us as righteous. God, give us a boldness to boast in that cross. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.